Bible, let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Strictly speaking, this evening, I'm not going to work my way through this important passage. There's a time and a place for that, but I do want to pick up on a principle and speak about it just for a moment. As we come to the end of 2013, and as we, by God's grace, step into 2014, I wish to give you a gift. Now, it's not a financial gift, so in case you're getting excited, nor a material gift. But a spiritual gift. A gift that is both practical and doctrinal. A gift that is both theological and useful for everyday life. A gift that lies at the very heart of the gospel and yet has some profound implications for everyday life. A gift that will help and guide you not only in how you think in 2014, but how you live. So you say, what's this gift? Well, it's a gospel gift, and if by God's grace we take it on board, it will not only give us an assurance that we are in a right relationship with God, but it will do a number of other things, and this is what we're going to think about tonight. It will help us to have a right view of ourselves. It will help us to cope with the demands of Christian service in 2014. It will help us to deal with the disappointments and even the failings of life, which come to us all. And it will help us to relate to other people. So what is this gift? Well, it is the biblical and reformed principle and doctrine of justification by faith. So I know it's 6 o'clock and the last Sunday night of the year, but if I was to ask you, what's Shorter Catechism number 33? Well, that would really get you into a bit of a flap, probably. But don't worry, we'll not ask you to recite it tonight. Please don't ask me to recite it. I'm going to put it up on the board, and then that will keep everybody right. Let me remind you what it says, and then I'll tell you where I'm going with this. Justification is the act of God's free grace, by which he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight. He does so only because he counts the righteousness of Christ as ours, and justification is received by faith alone. It's an act of God by which he pardons our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight. Now, that's what we're going to think about this evening. Let me put it another way. Despite our sinfulness, despite your sinfulness, despite my sinfulness, if you're a Christian, you can say, I am now pardoned and I am accepted through a simple yet wholehearted entrusting of myself to what Jesus has done for me through his life and his death and his resurrection. And that is the heart of the gospel. That is the essence of the gospel message. We're on the ground of the great solas of the Reformed faith. by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are accepted. We are made right with God. Can you say that tonight? On this closing evening, Sunday evening of 2013. But you know, there's more to this truth than initially meets the eye. Not only does it bring us into this new relationship with God, it affects a number of things. And this is what I want you to think about with me just for a moment or two this evening. It affects how you see yourself. Many Christians, generally, and even Christians who are involved in Christian ministry of different kinds, can be tempted to measure their worth or their value by how the work that they're doing is going on. And so if things are going well, if things are successful, if things are really quite good compared to what other people are doing, well then, sometimes the temptation is to, we think of ourselves in a very good way. Our worth and our value is up there and it's okay. But the flip side becomes a problem. Some people, some Christians can measure their worth and their value not only by how their work or their ministry is going, but by what others think of them. So as long as everybody thinks well of them, they have a nice view and value of themselves. But whenever that doesn't happen, the whole thing becomes a problem. And all of this can actually, this way of thinking, in other words, what I'm saying, if you tend to think of yourself and your worth, your value as a person is all about how things are going or what people think about you, well, that's all fine as long as it's all going well, but it can be quite a burden. Is there a better way? Yes, there is. There's a far better foundation to live your life and to look at yourself. And it is actually this gospel principle that you are accepted in Jesus. Let me put it this way. My worth or my value, or your worth and your value before God, is not actually to do with how things are going or with what people may think about you. Your worth and your value before God is all to do with the fact that you are accepted in Jesus. So no matter how things are going or not going, no matter how people, what people think about you or don't think about you, your worth and your value is not to do with those things at all. It is to do with the fact that you are accepted in Jesus. You are accepted in Jesus. Rico Tice, we know Rico Tice's name well, associated with Christianity Explored. He once said something like this. He says, we don't have to pretend to be something that we're not. When we realize that we're accepted in Jesus by grace through faith, we don't have to go round through life pretending to be something that we're not. We don't have to be constantly trying to prove ourselves to God, as some Christians try to do, because we're accepted. Unconditionally. Let me say this. I've said it before. I will say it again. There is nothing more that you or I can do to make yourself more acceptable to God than has been done. Nothing more that you can do or I can do to make yourself any more acceptable. And if you're in Christ, there is nothing that can take away from that. You are accepted in Jesus. Period. And that has an implication for how you see yourself in the ups and downs of life. Second thing I want to say is that this can affect how you will keep your joy as you serve the Lord. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever become a little weary in well-doing? Have you ever felt in your own heart, though you may not say it to anyone else, oh dear, I can't quite face this. Have you ever, at the start of a new season, felt all that the new season holds weighing down upon you a little bit, saying, I'm not sure if I can face all this again? Have you ever felt the joy draining from you and the drudgery rising in you? Well, the answer to that, let me answer it for you, is yes. Because I think many Christians feel those things. And there's a number of things that could be said here, including the fact that for some people, what may be needed is that they need to take a little bit of time out and actually take a rest. Because sometimes people become weary because they are literally exhausted. And maybe there's somebody here this evening, and that's God's word for you. Take some time out. Take some time off. Because you're in danger of being a workaholic. But what I want to focus on this evening is not so much that, important though that is, but I want you just to think about this for a moment. And I'm still thinking about this gospel truth that we are accepted in Jesus. Whenever the Christian life or Christian service starts to become more dreary than joyful, let me tell you what's happening. A gradual and dangerous shift may be happening within our hearts, or may already have happened. And it's this, that sometimes in the Christian experience, we forget, in the midst of all the stuff that goes on around us, we forget that we are accepted in Jesus, that we have been acquitted by the Lord because of what Jesus has done. We forget, or at kind of goes to the back of our heads, that we have been made children of God, that we have received the Holy Spirit. In other words, we forget who we are and we begin to focus an awful lot on what we have to do to the detriment of remembering who we are. And then what happens is that the devil, who's always seeking to pull us down, as we're thinking about all the stuff that has to be done, he begins to work and he begins to remind us of the frustrations and the irritations and the dissatisfactions of the work. And our joy goes and drudgery reigns. Have you ever had that experience? And what's the solution to that? Well, the solution at one level is very simple and yet profound. We need to come prayerfully back to the gospel, and we need to reflect again on the amazing truth, not so much of what we have to do, but on what we are in Jesus, that we are accepted in Jesus. There's nothing more that I have to do to be accepted. Even when I make a blunder of it, I'm still accepted. And that was why, and I know I say this all the time, that was why Martin Luther kept saying to people, every morning when you get out of your bed, remind yourself, I am accepted in Jesus. And it will prove to be a wonderful inspiration and motivation. So are you feeling the weight of all that you have to do tonight? Are you feeling, if truth be told, oh dear, a new year, all of that stuff? Step back and prayerfully ask the Lord to help you to focus not so much for a moment on what you have to do, but on what you are and what he has made you. And pray that the joy will return. The third thing is that this truth, how does it help us cope with the failures and disappointments of life? Now, I used this illustration on Christmas morning. Excuse me for using it again. I mentioned... The song by the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl fairy tale of New York. Why is it so popular? Well, if you know that song, it's not one we sing at church. If you know that song, one of the reasons I believe it is so popular is because it reflects the sad realities and the shattered dreams of life. If you think carefully of the words of that song, earthy though they may be, that's what it reflects. It really does. And that is why it is so popular, because it strikes a chord with ordinary people that life is not all roses, that life is full of shattered dreams. And here's the question: how do you cope with the failures, the disappointments, and the shattered dreams of life? Well, you can become, like Shane McGowan and others, cynical and indulge your way through life to try to cope with them. Or you can lean hard on the grace of God found in Jesus. None of us, Christians included, are immune from the failings, the struggles, the disappointments of life. And some Christians really need to see, they really need what someone described as a theology for the days when things go belly up. And I'm not so much talking here about the tragedies of life, but I'm talking about ordinary life when something that you had hoped would happen doesn't happen. Something, some project, some circumstance in life that you had high hopes for and it just hasn't quite worked out. How do you cope with that? I have known some Christians in those situations to go to pieces because they have felt, for whatever reason, maybe let down by God. Maybe they have felt they have let God down themselves. And some have even felt that it has disrupted their whole relationship with God. Now, obviously, if the failure or the disappointment that we're speaking about has come because of sin, then it must be repented of. But sometimes these failures and disappointments can come across our path, and really, it's not directly our fault. It just happens. How do we deal with that? How do we cope with that? When things go belly up? Here's what I want to say. Even in the failures and the disappointments of life, you are still, if you're a Christian, a child of God. You are still accepted in Jesus. Do not allow the disappointments and the failures and the setbacks of life to affect your relationship with God. You are still accepted in Jesus, irrespective of what has happened. We all need a theology that can lead us through the failures and the disappointments of life. And it seems to me that it can only be found built on the great doctrine of the gospel that we are justified not by the things that we do, but by faith alone, in Christ alone. And the fourth and final thing that I want to say to you tonight is this. This gospel doctrine that we are accepted in Jesus will not only help you to see yourself in the right way, it will not only help you to keep a joy as you serve the Lord and deliver you from drudgery and dreariness in ministry. It will not only help you to cope with the disappointments and setbacks of life, it will help you as you relate to other people. Let me explain what I mean. Let me give you a couple of examples of people. Now, these are not any particular person that I'm thinking of, but these people live in Kilkeel. They live in any town or city that you could mention. Here's one person, and their worth and their value in life is all to do with what they do, with what they achieve, with how they're getting on. They tend, though they would maybe never say this, they tend to look down on those who do not achieve as they are achieving, or to do as they are doing. They can tend at times to be people who in heart are quite critical of others, quite judgmental, and even dismissive of other people. And they can be less inclined to receive any help or encouragement or ministry from other people, because their life is built around themselves and what they do and what they achieve. That's one example of a person. Here's another example of a person. A person whose worth and value is built on what, not what they do, but on what they are as a Christian believer. They are accepted in Jesus. And so what that leads to is that they tend to see other people in the same way, as sinners in need of Jesus, as sinners who can be, by grace through faith, accepted in Jesus. They tend not to be as quick to criticize other people, hopefully, to judge other people harshly, or to be as dismissive of other people, because they realize that the other people at heart are just like themselves. I repeat myself, they are sinners in need of Jesus. They are sinners who can be accepted by grace through faith in Jesus. So can you see what I'm trying to say? That the gospel affects our relationships with people around us. It affects how we look at people. It affects what we think of people. It begins to change our attitudes towards others. Why? Because we realize that at the end of the day, if I can use myself as an example, I am basically a sinner saved by the grace of God, accepted in Jesus. And the person who happens to be walking or sailing down the street, why should I judge them harshly or dismiss them? Because at the end of the day, they are also a sinner who needs to be saved by the grace of God and accepted in Jesus. And if I can try and reach them with this gospel, that they might be won for the Lord, well then surely I will do it. So can you see how the gospel begins to affect not only our relationship with God, but our relationship with each other and our relationship with people generally. So tonight, let me try and draw this together. What I'm trying to say is this. We need to be secure in the gospel. And you're secure in the gospel when you've thrown yourself on Jesus for salvation And I ask you again, is there anyone here this evening and you have not yet thrown yourself on Jesus for your eternal salvation? If not, why not? Do not let another year go into history without being right with God. Come to Christ. Throw yourself on Christ. Repent and believe the good news, and you will be accepted. And you will be brought into that happy place where you will realize there is nothing more that I need to do to be accepted by Jesus. And if I'm truly resting on him, even when things go belly up, and even when I make a bit of a Horlicks of the thing, I am still accepted in Jesus. Do you realize that? You're still accepted. And you don't have to go through life trying to prove yourself to other people or to God, because you're accepted in Jesus. That is freeing. That is inspiring. That is motivating. And what that does, folks, is this, that it actually puts within us a liberating, inspiring, motivating gospel truth that says, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. I want to get stuck into whatever it is I'm going to be doing in 2014. Because this is a liberating message. It is not a legalistic message. It is not a life-suffocating message. It is a liberating message. And I want other people to see this. And I want them to experience it. So I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what the gospel does. That is what the gospel of free grace does. That's what it does. And you'll have not drudgery in your heart or dreariness in your heart. You'll have joy in your heart and a spring in your step as by God's grace you see that in Jesus you are accepted.